45 minutes of this week that are most going to enable you to save lives. The Sahana Disaster Management System has actually been activated in response to Haiti, and we're currently in negotiations. A lot of our information is being pumped from Google and actually from a whole bunch of sources, and our tool is being used as an aggregator, and it's starting to do real good. So the message right at the start and the motto of today's talk is, with a little bit more help, we can do a huge amount of good. And as horrible as the events of the last week or so have been, there's a real opportunity for Australians and New Zealanders to provide a really significant difference. To fill out 45 minutes, I thought I would talk a little bit more about the single software application. We've got, starting off, a discussion of the technology problem, which is basically, why would you put something that needs batteries into an emergency situation? I thought it would be really, really relevant to discuss in a little bit of detail how the volunteer effort of the Sahana Software Foundation has gone about responding and providing assistance to the response to the Haitian earthquake. The next step is obviously a look at the technology platform itself, and we'll be running off the development or the testing server that is responding to Haiti to play around with the tools that are actually available to us. And for you as developers to potentially to go and play with our API and build even greater tools. Our second to last point is a little discussion about the couple of other humanitarian free and open source software tools that exist around. And lastly, my personal little argument for why Australia and New Zealand are really fantastic places to be involved with emergency management. And with that, computers have a really, really difficult time in a disaster zone. They need power, connectivity, security, and yet they encounter the situation. There's no power, they can't run off diesel generators because the sine waves just aren't really good enough. They're often stuck by themselves, so even if they did collect a whole bunch of information, maybe on a spreadsheet, they can't really transport that anywhere. The security looting is kind of, the massive emergencies like Haiti have kind of brought that one to the fore, but security matters much more for, say, Australia and New Zealand, when different agencies come together that may have worked very rarely with each other. So if you're a what in New Zealand is known as a Civil Defence Emergency Management Officer, you suddenly need to have 50 or 60 people in your office that you've never dealt with in the last year. And you don't know how secure their system, well, in terms of the security of your system, how that actually is going to interplay with you. The last point is that who here has run a disaster management system? Okay, no one, right? And we're trying to provide a system to connect everyone that no one has ever used. So you'll see that in the design philosophy of the application as we run through, that we're actually very, very slimmed down in what we allow to our users. There are bigger problems, though. And one of them, this is going to sound strange, is the price of free and open source software. Now, I want you to think about this from the perspective of a purchasing officer within a public sector organization. Now, you've got several very, very large commercial organizations, and they're offering very expensive products that have already proven to be very, very good. And so for a little volunteer group based out of the ashes of the Asian tsunami from Sri Lanka, there's a problem. Now, this second point is actually the one that I'm least able to talk a little bit more about because I've never worked in the ICT sector, I'm just a volunteer. But I'm assuming that if you're running, say, SharePoint or ASP.NET or whatever, and someone says, I would like to run something that usually is run on Linux, it just adds a whole bunch more complication to that hardware infrastructure. The shame point is something I've never actually really discussed with a purchasing officer, but I'm pretty sure that there is a little bit of that. I've worked in the public sector for a couple of years, and it does seem to be a relatively conservative place. And people like ourselves are a little bit radical because we're willing to promote other things like freedom as in freedom, sorry, free software because it's free, is actually really, really important for us. And the last one is about training. And that last point we had on the previous slide regarding the fact that no one is ever going to use it. These aren't necessarily problems in terms of price that it's exclusive to Sahana, but they do impact on its deployment around the world. Now, any computer program that needs to interact with people that are in very severe distress is going to encounter issues around privacy. There are two examples that I thought were relatively relevant. These are obviously fictional. Keisha is what we might say, she's in a, we'll just say that she's found in a sort of some shelter, and then someone's come to pick her up. Now, if this gentleman, oh, sorry, the man at the top, if he had found her information from, say, a website, that could raise really, really serious legal, ethical considerations. The one at the bottom is a little bit more obscure. I'm actually thinking about debt collectors here and the use of the information that is in a public repository or a website, like Sahana is generally deployed as and is currently, that there are, even in an emergency situation, some people are still going to do things for bad, basically, even if possibly legally that might be the right thing to do, potentially. Don't really want to go there. But the way we've done it currently is we've locked out our missing person, sorry, our shelter management system in the public website, as we'll see later. My personal view is that the biggest hindrance to the adoption of the Sahana platform isn't so much the technology. And this is a quote that I think is pretty well spot on. I liked how it's intellectually stimulating and a little bit of self-indulgence. There's a couple of points there, though. If you're a very large organization, you want something that's going to be credible. So there's a real strong desire to maintain the interests of the people that that organization wants to serve. And so there are hurdles for any new entrant into the market that it needs to overcome, and one of them is credibility. But my personal view is that the political aspect and the, say, the people-orientated reasons are almost as much more stronger than the technical reasons. So computers have a difficult time in disasters, so why should we bother? As you'll see from the bottom, this was an actual text message that was sent out from Haiti. I picked that one up around about 11:30 last night. And this shows you a couple of things. Firstly, that social media have completely radicalized or completely changed the way that disaster response has occurred. Now, I haven't gone and looked at that picture just because I just do not even want to go there. But if you'd like, you can go and check now and see whether or not anyone or any agency has responded. Because RMS stands for Request Management System. And Sahana has a tool in it which enables agencies to go and say, I will claim that. I will take responsibility for going and having a look at least and trying to pull that person out of that building. My fairly strong guess is that within the 12 hours or whatnot since that message was sent, no one has claimed that message. And it's just sitting there. So for the next maybe 2 or 3 days, hopefully, the Sahana Software Foundation as an organization, as a volunteer organization, is trying to try and tell everyone, we have some tools that are helping. Please use them. There's another reason why I think technology has a really, really great place to play in an emergency situation. Basically, people, because there's so much information to get through, that most civil defense or military organizations need to structure their information something like that. So if you want to go from the left box, you have to go all the way up to the top to get information to the right box, because they generally work upwards and then down. That's just my experience anyway. Most organizational charts look very similar. Whereas computers, at least because they act so quickly, look much more like the circles, where everything is much more distributed. Even if there are central hubs, or even if the architecture of the networks is such that they look more like the one on the left, they act for people much more like what is on the right. And that has a really good advantage, because that means everyone in every node should know exactly what's happening all the time. And we're going to demonstrate what's happening in Haiti very shortly. Now, one of the interesting things about the Sahana Software Foundation is that the word Sahana means a few things. In fact, the word Sahana does not necessarily mean the Sahana Software Project. It looks a little bit more like this. After the Asian tsunami, there was a PHP project built with its own web framework, effectively. But we kind of got to a couple of years ago, well, a year and a half, a little bit more, and said it was really hard to maintain both the framework and actually applications based on that framework, so let's give that to someone else. And so the Python project on the right was a step in that direction. It's how I personally, as a contributor, feel that the project is going to move forward, but it's a very, very contentious issue within the mailing list, for example. And I'm sure that people may not agree with me that I would consider very close friends. We have a couple of other things on the left here, which just are trying to, basically, mini applications that interface with the big ones. Oh, when I talk about Sahana from the rest of the presentation, I'm talking about the Python project, because that is what has happened and what has been activated in response to Haiti. There's a slide missing. It actually is supposed to have the very initial commit log of a colleague of mine, Fran, and he is based in the UK, and basically said, we are creating an organizational registry to be of use, and we're cleaning out all the rubbish, the guff, and we'll just keep an organizational registry. So we'll just keep a contact list. Turns out, after a couple of days, people wanted more than just a contact list. They wanted a mapping application. They wanted to be able to actually have a system that would enable disaster victim identification to take place. Sahana can take in now, thanks to a German, Dominic, DNA samples and whatnot. And this request management system is what we encountered prior with that message with the Facebook thing. We would like help, by the way, which is the plug, or one of the several plugs that will come through this afternoon's presentation. As I may have mentioned right at the start, we did this kind of off our own bat and found ourselves in a really special place, because no one else was doing exactly what we were doing, which was basically being an aggregator for not news articles, not blog posts, but pretty much data about what's actually happening. That wasn't a map. We did that. So the US Embassy kindly, to all of its citizens, submitted PDF to its website saying, this is where everyone lives. Sorry, this is where the English-speaking doctors are in Haiti. I found that document and said, you know what, we could do better than just having it in a PDF. And we plotted that on a map or in a layer. And now people can just go in a single line and download that now. In fact, you could do that very shortly. A little bit more now about the application. It's can run basically wherever Python can run. There's about 5 or 6 dependencies, but basically that's all it needs to be a self-maintaining instance. And so that's where we can get in that privacy aspect that we mentioned earlier. You don't need to build something that is global. If you want it within your LAN or within your secure protocol, all you need is something that can be a web server, and we can go forth and prosper, basically. There are ways and means within the administration interface to turn off modules. Actually, I'm just going to go here. This is live. The URL is in the ISC channel now. Linux.conf.au. That too. Go to haiti.sahanafoundation.org, and that will enter you into the Haiti 2010 Disaster Response Portal, I think is the name that has kind of evolved, as we originally started with just the organizational registry. Everyone's hogging the Wi-Fi. But actually, that's kind of unfortunate. There is something I'd really like to show you, which is just here. I do, actually, and I'm surprised that it is as slow as it is. Now, if I want data from what we have, normally, it'd be some weird API call. So how about we go for GRSS format. Does anyone know what the GRSS format is? It's for maps. And we are basically bringing out an XML file format, as long as it's going to load. Demos are really, really XML. There's also CSV. These are generating dynamically lists of whatever exists in the database. All the time, which makes it really, really easy for other application developers and other websites to build off. Now, I'm pretty sure, thanks to a mate of mine, Gavin, who lives in Christchurch, the GPX thing wouldn't have happened, but more or less, all of that is thanks to a web platform called Web2Py, which is a little one, but we think it's a goodie. Oh, that's where it was. Now I was hello. There's our GRSS. XML is taking a little longer. Hello, that's positive. Now, there are some other things in case you were wondering. You don't have to do Sahana to help out. OpenMRS is especially for medical records. Instead, in Ushahidi is an application that I only discovered over the weekend, but it turns out they can do this. You can text in, and they will plot what's happening on a map. Sahana has all of this information, but in a slightly different format. I am not a GIS specialist. So the question was, do I know how they're doing the geocoding? I don't. But I hopefully don't need to know. My role has basically been over the last 4 or 5 days to find volunteers out of any sort of place in the world that would like to come and join us and funnel them towards tasks that need to be done. And that's actually really easy as well, by the way. It's Bitly Sahana to do. So all of those requests come in through here. Is it slow for anyone else? It is running quite slow. That's unfortunate. Oh, okay, everything is. Oh, that's slightly more relief. So has anyone heard this thing called Tweak the Tweet? Basically, I'm not sure who did it, but in fact, it's probably right there. No. A special syntax within Twitter to enable messages to be sent to responding agencies. I think it's hash Haiti and then help or open and then a road name. We'll say that road name has been opened or closed. We have all of these messages in here, which is where and so we've got a lot of information in Sahana right now. I am unfortunately getting rapidly toward the end of my speech. The other one that is really quite neat is Instead and their GeoChat application. They have a pretty map of basically what it does. With an SMS text message, people can pop up on a map so they can keep in contact with each other, and which is apparently being really, really effective in Haiti right now. Ubuntu NGO is basically an attempt by Canonical to create a distribution specifically for NGOs and potentially put everything we can on, or I'm actually just an adjunct member to that, kind of just lurk on the mailing list, but basically give every NGO the tools they need to be able to excuse themselves from proprietary products. HFOS stands for Humanitarian FOS. It is an umbrella organization, I think was mentioned in the previous session as well. And I thought it would be worth discussing why a free and open source solution is really, really valuable for emergency management. Practicality probably matters more than philosophy in this sense, because people really don't care how it's done as long as people get helped at the end of the day. Now, if I was, again, a public sector organization, and I wanted some way, or even a small nonprofit, and I wanted some way to communicate with all of my volunteers or maintain information lists or whatnot, that had some way of fitting in with other products, I may have to pay licensing fees and never use that. And so the original budget bid would have been fantastic. A couple of years down the track, it gets a little bit harder to justify after we spend a little bit more money. And even further down the track, after a couple of managers have changed, like priorities change, and my personal hunch is that free and open source software can kind of bypass that process. I can see a possibility that within, at least in what I know of the civil defence emergency management sector here in New Zealand, that there are signs that say Civil Defence Centre. And in Wellington, and for any Americans in the audience, emergency management something, I'm not sure what it is in the States. But they might have volunteers that they may or may not have volunteers at that school. In fact, there is a list on the Wellington City Council's website, last time I checked, that says these centres are empty. And even of the ones that have some capacity in terms of volunteer staffing. My expectation is that their tools are inadequate, and we can sort of almost have a sleeper cell of really effective software in the computer, running within the running within that school environment. Most schools have their own hardware, their own IT infrastructure, and so all you need is one good manager, and then you've got really good software throughout the whole response. My last little pitch was a little bit of a thought about why Australasia was really, really good place to be if you wanted to help others. New Zealand has this wonderful tendency of having earthquakes and volcanoes. Australia has this other quite extraordinary tendency of either being on fire or another part of Australia, you're going to have a terrible cyclone up in Queensland or the Northern Territory. So basically, we get it all. But we, as Australasians, speak relatively the same language. We're in the same time zone. We also, in terms of the time zone aspect, have been really, really beneficial because now we can provide support as Sahana in the US, Australasia, the UK, even Europe. And so we've been one of the only sort of volunteer organizations and one of the only that have been able to provide 24/7 support. I think we're a first world country and we can provide the Haitians a really, at least a slight degree of relief. And I would be really, really privileged if I could induct anyone that would like to come forward to help. I guess I'm the co-founder of the New Zealand Sahana Cluster, which is basically me and two others, including one in the audience here. And there's my details. And if you send me an email or flip me a tweet or whatnot, I'm bound to get back to you. Thanks all so very much. We have a question in the back.
Even if you're using OLPCs, how are you functioning in areas like Haiti or in a disaster zone? And how are they communicating with outside world? Is it satellite phones? And
I don't want to necessarily get into too much of the details about how the response is occurring on the ground because I don't want to tell lies. I don't know too much about exactly every organization's standard operating procedures, but I can say that most of the very large organizations are communicating outside of Haiti. And so if we can increase the knowledge between all of those organizations, then we've got a really, really great chance of being able to feed information back to increase coordination efforts. When I said that they can run on OLPCs, on the EXO, what I was saying is that they have the capacity to do that. I mean, it is just running Python, so they can do this too. But it doesn't mean that's how the current response is actually occurring. We've basically got a pretty grunty server that's kicking everything through. Are there any other questions in the front?
I'm wondering how the Sahana Pi project fits in with the greater Sahana.
Yeah, so how does the Sahana Pi project fit in with the rest of it, right? It sounds really, really odd. Why would you move not just a little bit, but into a completely new programming language for this is going to be really contentious as well, but maybe even for the next version? I think that decision was based on the fact that we really like the Web 2.5 framework. And mainly because of its really fantastic REST interoperability. Every single one of our controllers and all of our functions are accessible via URLs, and they're completely consistent throughout the whole application. And it's really, really easy to import and export data. That was my impression. I wasn't part of the initial Sahana Pi kind of effort, but after being able to see it validated in the field now, I am really, really enthusiastic for the future. And there was a question up.
Can I just ask a quick one?
Of course.
Is the New Zealand, any of the New Zealand civil defence agencies, are they planning to use Sahana? Have you talked to them?
We've talked to them.
And were you in Samoa?
Yeah, it was here, wasn't it? We're still struggling in New Zealand with a lot of entrenched views. And Sahana itself as an application really, or Sahana Pi, really needs to prove itself. Because why on earth would you, as a government entity, or even a very large non-governmental agency, why on earth would you pick a software project? That could just be a whole bunch of wasted time. It doesn't make sense. And I can see the reasoning behind that. But I can also see the great potential of a fantastic software product. And we are validating that it is useful and effective right now. Are there any further questions? Are we encroaching on afternoon tea?
Not at all.
Here we are.
We've heard a lot about getting involved in the community and encouraging non-code contributors. What non-code contribution do you guys need?
We have a list from UN OCHA, which is the Office of Humanitarian and... I really should have known that acronym. In 99 teams out of 100, I would have got that. But basically the UN agency responsible for coordinating the international effort. They run a fantastic website called ReliefWeb. ReliefWeb. web.int. Which has everything on it. They've given us a list of organizations, contact details, and it's 500-600 long. Now, if you go to bit.ly.
No, I specifically meant what non-code contributions does the Sahana project need? Can I type? Yes.
Yeah, so if you go to Sahana, bit.ly Sahana/Haiti/todo, you'll be greeted with this relatively unflattering front page. Which includes a whole section on really, really urgent data entry needs. And I know it sucks, but it's so valuable. I mean, I've spent 4 or 5 hours last night just trying to pump more data in. I mean, I was up to about four or five last night, which is why I got sort of that SMS message come through, and I thought that was just too fantastic of an opportunity to keep out of the presentation. Can I invite any other questions? Yeah, right. In New Zealand, it probably wouldn't be driven. New Zealand has one of the world's best structures. It works very, very similar to that standard organizational chart that I mentioned before. Each regional council, which is basically an umbrella organization for, we'll say, couple of hundred square kilometers, is going to be running their own system. And my expectation is that a lot of that will be spreadsheet-based, and a lot of that will be... Actually, we didn't actually encounter one of the reasons why computers were so effective. And that is, people still listen and write handwritten notes of message logs. There are people, and all they do for a 12-hour shift is to write down what was said over VHF or UHF radios. That's so inefficient. And we have, as software developers and as FOSS advocates, have a really amazing opportunity to be able to streamline that whole response. So to answer your question, Sahana just hasn't got the depth yet. I think technically it's there, or at least 80 or 90% there. It can do things like putting up an organizational registry, a contact list, really, really simply. But in order for it to get the buy-in, sufficient buy-in to be able to prove that it's worth using in the field, you've still got people to convince.
I guess I'm just fractionally confused about which organizations you're talking to and why, sort of who you're pitching at, really, because you've got comments there from the humanitarian organization. But where does civil defense and emergency management come into it, and what about NZA? You know, what's the kind of market, if you will?
I think our market for this response right now is a little bit, is mainly the US State Department, Google, Instead, and a couple of, and UN OCHA. It's a little bit bigger than New Zealand. And those discussions are occurring at a quite a high level. I'm basically CC'd into a couple of those email threads. For right now, the response is really focused on trying to provide an effective software solution for the people of Haiti. But more widely, I'd love the chance to go and speak to officials and even politicians about how we can change things.
So you're not, this isn't like something they would run in the beehive basement, you know, during a disaster.
Funny you should say that. Along with Catalyst IT and Kestra Group, which are emergency management consultants, we went for an RFP for the beehive system. We weren't invited to present a request for pricing, so we got basically to step one of three. Yeah, it was a fairly tight schedule.
So besides the Haiti and the Asian tsunami,
yes,
where else was Sahana used?
I would invite you to go to sahana.lk. LK is the top level domain for Sri Lanka. There's a huge list of the deployments, and our wiki, which is wiki.sahana.lk, also has quite extensive details of previous deployments. It's been mainly deployed to developing countries and has been quite effective at reuniting families, which is what the original Sahana was built for. We're sort of getting on, I think, to... Oh, no, we've still got time. Yeah. For sure, and that's the thing. It's like crowdsource, right? And yet we have people saying, oh, I'd love to help. Yeah, but, cheers. Okay, well, this would be cool. Yeah, right. I would like, maybe we should get 50 people to do it. Go onto Facebook, search for Sahana, you'll see a logo that looks very similar to the New Zealand Sahana cluster. I'll right-click, actually. Very similar to that, which is I run that Facebook site, and I'd love to pump it out. And if I got some likes, that would be choice, because then it spreads through all of your friends too. Please use the hashtag Haiti and Sahana in whatever social media tool you prefer, and try and get this job done. It would be fantastic. Do we have a non-Facebook social media? I would say IRC in Freenode, Sahana, is the best room to hang out. The slide that was missing and was actually just completely blank was stats. Our IRC logs on the 8th of January, hopefully I got this right, were about sort of 2.4 kilobytes. On the 18th, we had over 200 kilobytes of traffic in there. So that's an increase of about 100%. No, 100-fold. Fantastic. And we'd really invite, especially Python developers, to get involved. Yes? Have we tried pitching to the regional councils? Those discussions, I haven't. And another colleague of mine, Gavin Treadgold, is an emergency management consultant, and I think he feels that, and he effectively works as a volunteer for the Sahana project. And my impression from some of the discussions that he has is that he doesn't want to be kind of mixing the waters or muddying the waters in terms of saying to people, well, this is what you should use because I like it. I think in order to start whispering into people's ears that this isn't even an option, it would just take conversations like this. And more meetings that are similar. Steve?
If people have got connections into local authorities,
Yeah, so just for the purposes of the mic and the people watching the stream, if you do know anyone that knows anyone that happens to walk the dog of one of your local representatives, by all means, let them know. We'd be more than happy to spread the word. One, was that a stretch or was that a question? Sure. Love, I love it. Yeah. Naturally. So the suggestion there is that we don't just need to use Sahana in really, really bad times. We can also use it as a simulation exercise. In fact, what would be quite neat would be able to have a simulator that would automatically send in what are known as injects, which are basically exercise messages that say the water level of that particular river is now 30 centimeters higher than what it was half an hour ago. You must deal with it. It could do it all itself. But at the moment, the focus has got to be basically keeping the core system focused on the response effort. For me, I see that as one of the greatest potentials of it as well, that we get to be really, really rigorous in terms of testing as well. Exactly, yeah, yeah. At the moment, it's got to be our volunteer resources for developers are relatively stretched, and it's certainly something that I'd love to write a blueprint or a specification up to see if we can get things moving. But at this stage, it's probably not the number one. Lights have returned. Hi, Tabitha.
Thanks for giving a really passionate talk. And also thanks for repeating back questions from the audience.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you all. LCA 2010 would like to thank Tim for coming and presenting to us today and would like to offer him this bottle of... I'm not sure why they got this wine, but it's called Fiasco Wine. So there you go.
Spectacular. Hey, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, mate. Thank you.